Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, I am Glenn the Geek from a very dreary, still raining Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Kimmy Jennings from hot and sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, May 19th, 2011, episode 144. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, it is that kind of week, Glenn. I swear, we have had some changes and some excitement, if you want to call it that, regarding the herpes virus outbreak. My horse trial, my schooling this weekend has been postponed. I think my horse trial in 2 weeks has been postponed. It's been crazy, but I really knew that the herpes virus outbreak was really taking center stage when I was meeting with my veterinarian yesterday. And he's a really funny guy. He's with Prescott Animal Hospital. His name is Dr. Mark Anderson. And, you know, he's got his arm up a mare, checking a mare at my neighbor's house, and his phone rings. And with his other hand, Glenn, he reaches down, grabs his phone, and answers it, "Herpes hotline, how can I help you?"
That's funny.
I'm like, getting a bunch of calls on that, yeah, are we? He's like, hundreds and hundreds of phone calls.
Oh, my gosh. Hundreds. I can imagine every vet in the country, huh?
Yeah, it's been crazy. So the clinic I used to work at down the street is going to have a big meeting tonight and just kind of let everybody know. But what Dr. Anderson told me was just basically don't go anywhere for 3 weeks. Keep your horses at home. Keep them. Just let this kind of blow over and see if there's any secondary outbreaks. But just kind of stay home and stay quiet, which is very difficult for me.
I know I got an email from the Cutting Horse Association that they have canceled every show that they had going in the country this weekend.
Wow.
The state of Nebraska, the states are really, really being aggressive. In the state of Nebraska, the agriculture department there identified every horse that was at any of those shows that the infected horses came out of, followed them back to the farms in Nebraska, and have immediately quarantined four of those farms. So
I'm glad. You know, let's kind of get control of it. Let's see if anything else comes of it, and let's just leave it alone and see what happens. You know, might as well just lock them all up. So.
Well, you know, I'm sorry your thing got postponed. All that wearing you did on vacation was for nothing. See, that's why they say don't worry about things.
See, and that's what makes me really mad, is that I have been losing sleep over these 2 weekends coming up for a month. And now I've got to stress even longer. Like, I wanted to get it over with. Jeez,
okay, you're supposed to learn
time.
A lesson and stop stressing and not worry about it, but instead you're going to stress for another month.
No, I got a month long to wait. But you know what? We've got some distraction this weekend, Glenn. It's going to be awesome because the $1 million Preakness Stakes is this weekend. It's this Saturday. And just to let you know, they drew all the post positions. And there's
hold on one second.
Gag and Sis. Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
Okay, you can
okay,
go then.
There's a race this weekend. I'm not going to name names. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised that there's not more horses from the Derby running in this, but I guess if you don't win the Derby, you just give up. But it's a $1 million stakes race. And let's see, to go down the list, the horses that were in the Derby, number 5, Shackleford, is 12-1. Let's see, Midnight Interlude that drew the 7th post position, and he's going off of 15-1. Mucho Macho Man, our boy, drew the 9th post position. I know they'll be happy with that because they like being in the middle. Dialed In is 9-2. He's in the 10 spot. And number 11, the 11-hole Animal Kingdom, is going off of 2-1. But if you notice, there is a horse that you just kind of have to root for. And he drew the far outside post position. His name is Mr. Commons. And do you have any idea why I kind of am pulling a little bit for Mr. Commons as well?
Well, he's being ridden by Victor Espinoza. Thank you. And,
Espinoza.
Trained by John Sheriff. No, I don't know.
I know.
Go
what?
Ahead, Jennifer.
John Sheriff, that's who trains Zenyatta.
Okay, I didn't realize the romantic connection there. I missed that.
Anything Zenyatta I love. So, yes, John Sheriff has a horse, number 14, Mr. Commons. So I would like to see him finish because I would really like to have a Triple Crown winner. Animal Kingdom, Mucho Macho Man, and Mr. Commons. Those are your top three. Bet it. It's going to be the trifecta pick of the year. So if you guys don't mind, go and put $2 on that for me at the track. That'd be great. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Hey, we have a big show. We're talking about that race coming up this weekend. We are going to have some guests on talking about that and some other stuff. So let's find out from Jennifer.
Thank you very much. On today's show, Alex Brown will be joining us with his Preakness update because he's been out at Pimlico keeping a close eye on things, and we're going to get the inside scoop on how the competition is coming together. He's got the real deal because he was at the rail watching, and I'm sure he had an umbrella over him. Next up, we get to dish out some completely unqualified psychological advice when the Horse Radio Network's own Helena B. is going to check in with us on how to keep riders who are on stall rest from going crazy. So please stay tuned and join the conversation and help us dish out unqualified psychological advice. Always a good time. And, of course, being Wednesday and all, the Chronicle of the Horse's most awesome intern, Megan, yay, will be here to provide excellent ammo for comic antics. And maybe
not. And I also want to remind – oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
No, it's Thursday. Being Thursday and all.
I should have much I pay attention. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, way to listen to your wife. You just learned to totally tone her out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because
hey, we were out late last night. You give us a break here. All right, so we want to remind everybody, too, that we still do take calls on this show. We would love to hear from you if you want to call in at some point today. 347-637-3238. I don't think we mentioned that enough, so I wanted to bring that up. And now it's time for this. My Daily Winnie goes out to Samiko, who posted on our Facebook page, sent the information about EHV1 broadcast to my horsey friends. Thank you very much for that, Samiko. And I'll tell you what, that broadcast we did yesterday has made the rounds. I've seen it everywhere. We sent out a press release about it, and I think I don't have the numbers in, but we had three times the number of live listeners yesterday that we normally have, and I won't have they recorded the podcast numbers for another couple days, but it was definitely the biggest show that we've ever done, and we hope everybody found it helpful, and it looks like you did. Also, she says, Glenn, did you see the horse's adoptable horse of the day? It's a 6-year-old standardbred pacer named McFlash, and she has that posted on our Facebook page. McFlash is cute. They have a video. And he's quiet as could be, and a cute standardbred paces, apparently does trail rides. They showed him riding through streams and everything. He's $200 up for adoption. Check it out. It was a neat-looking horse. Thank you, Samiko, for that. I appreciate it.
I think it's time for you to get your standardbred pacer, Glenn, so go right ahead. It'll be easy to drive, comfortable to ride. It paces, I mean, for crying out loud. It'd be nice, huh?
I'm waiting for my pacing Percheron, Jamie.
Oh, okay, good. But keep waiting. my baby, when he goes out to Liam, our friend from across the pond, because he's such a jerk, he said, tell Jamie that I'll be practicing my Dutch accent next week when I'm in Amsterdam. I'm booked for a private lesson here. Well, Liam, thank you very much for telling me that you're practicing your Dutch accent. This is my Dutch accent. It's fantastic.
Your Dutch accent sounds the same as your Irish accent, which sounds the same as your Aussie accent.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ben.
We really need to send you to accent class or something.
Elocution school, will it be?
Jamie and I sat in and on the Western radio show yesterday that'll come out next week. It's their one-year anniversary. We thought we'd turn the tables on them, so we actually hosted the Western radio show and had Alan and Tammy as our guests, and you should have heard Jamie trying to imitate Tammy's Australian Texas accent. That was even worse. That was even worse. I think even Tammy was getting tired of it, to be honest with you.
I was tired of it.
You're much better at straight Southern at Georgia accent. That one you're really good at. That's a good thing.
You know, I'm good at all of them, Glenn. Let's not kid ourselves.
Hey, we want to remind everybody, too, before we get into our hot and heavy topics of the day, our really bad ads are tomorrow. We had a lot of submissions here, and we want you to submit your ads today. You have until tomorrow, or actually through the end of the day today, to get your really bad ads in. You know what, Jamie, you found some good pictures for tomorrow, and we had some great submissions yesterday. The winner of the really bad ads tomorrow is going to win a bucket of Redmond, crushed up Redmond rocks, which are the mineral rocks out of the Redmond Rocks Company. And you can find them at redmondequine.com. We highly recommend this stuff. It is good. Beaker loves it. Every horse that we've ever found that has tried it loves this stuff. And they were kind enough to offer a prize this week. So I guarantee your horses will love it, too. They're going to ship some out to you. If you win tomorrow's really bad ads, go look at that Craigslist today. Guaranteed, you look through Craigslist in a page or two, you're going to find some really bad horse ads or ads where they're selling hay or tractors or whatever. Anything to do with horses.
It can be pretty bad.
Jamie, you brought up hay yesterday, and we had a ton of comments on our Facebook page yesterday about hay prices. You were saying that your hay prices have gone up. Well, I'll tell you what, we had a wide variety of prices. It seemed like in Indiana and Michigan and up that way, the prices were pretty good. From $3 to $5 a bale seemed to be in that area. That was the cheapest I saw. I'll tell you, California, I just don't know why anybody freaking lives there. You got earthquakes, you got high taxes, you got the worst government there is. Just everything's expensive. Hay costs like $89 a bale. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Florida, they seem to be running in the $6 to $10 a bale for that crappy, what do they call that? Looking here.
Straw.
What do they call it? Yeah, it pretty much looks like straw. Coastal hay. And it pretty much looks like straw. But the good stuff down there runs from $15 to $20 a bale. So it gets expensive if you get out of the Midwest. But the cheapest places did definitely seem to be up in the Michigan area. That way.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I have five horses, and I use five bales a week. So, you know, and there's not much grass here at Phoenix, so that my bales are huge, but I am paying, it seems like, a lot more than most people for hay in Arizona, which I don't know why, but they're pretty big bales. So, you know, I do feel sorry for the Southern California people. The professional equine grooms posted that they pay $28 for a three-string Timothy in Southern California. Ontario, it sounds like, is pretty expensive. Florida, of course, is expensive. I guess the only reason to live in the middle of the country where it's freezing is the hay prices.
There you go.
It's a little cheaper there.
I'll tell you what.
The rest of you that live there.
I wanted to tell you, too, that we got a message from Liam on Facebook. He's listening to us this morning, and he says, ha, 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 ha. So I want to know who the pretty girl that Liam is in his picture. I haven't seen that picture before. Who's that pretty girl there, Liam?
Liam changed his profile picture.
Picture, yeah. No, see, this is fun. Facebook is fun when you do a radio show because you can call people out on the air.
Yeah.
And Rick posted that the state of Kentucky has said that they have tracked everything back from those shows and haven't found any horses that they know of that have come into the state. So it's you should be cautious, but it's not they're not overly concerned about it here at this point, which is a good thing with all the racehorses here. Hey, I have another announcement,
absolutely.
Jamie, that we didn't get to talk to you about or the listeners about yesterday, and it relates to something that we brought up yesterday, and it is official. I officially spoke to the lovely Lady Alicia at Graceland yesterday, and we are going on June the 10th, Friday, June the 10th. She's got it set up that we're going to be recording from the barn. We're going to be actually in the barn doing our morning show live on Friday, June the 10th. We're going to be there 8 a.m. Central Time, and she's lining up guests for us, and we're going to talk about Elvis and his horses and, you know, what horses he had back then and how important horses were in his life, and then also we're going to talk about the horses that are currently there. So we're going in a day ahead of time, and they're going to give us a tour and take us around to meet everybody, and then we're going to do the show the following morning on Friday, June the 10th, so everybody's going to definitely want to tune in for that day. They've been, so far, been very accommodating and are excited to get the word out about Elvis's horses.
Oh, my gosh, my daddy just fell down. He's going to have to go up there and meet you. I mean, there's nobody better to my daddy than Elvis Presley, okay? So he might have to meet you up there at Graceland and take the tour with you. You know, when would he have the chance? So.
And right. Liam just said that that's his cousin on Facebook. Yeah, we believe that, Liam. Yeah, we're buying that.
I don't want to know what is going on over there because they look a little bit close.
Are we distracted today or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just because I had, you know, after recording the show with Alan yesterday, you know, Alan is the one from the Western radio show who gives me such a hard time about everything. I mean, post pictures of Oompa Loompas and took to my family reunion. I mean, he's just plain nasty to me. So I want to let everybody know that when you listen, please go listen to the Western radio show this week because I busted Alan. I found out something about him that even Tammy didn't know and made him tell the entire story about it. And in the way of, like, what's your most embarrassing moment? And he answered something completely different, but I found his real most embarrassing moment. And I made him tell the story about it. But you know what? All of that, spending that time with Alan yesterday really kind of got me fired up. I think it was just some angst or something that I had left over. And so I went to a baseball game last night. The Arizona Diamondbacks were playing the Atlanta Braves, okay? So they're playing the Atlanta Braves in Phoenix. I was so excited. My Atlanta Braves were in town. I went to the game, and I got in a fight. I got in a verbal screaming match with a 60-year-old man. I'm guessing 60. I didn't ask him, but he was old. And he was a complete jerk. And I was right, and he was wrong. And even Chad had to jump up and come to my defense in the middle of this fight. Other Arizona Diamondbacks fans were yelling at this guy, too. So I was not in the wrong, but I think I might have overreacted a little bit.
A little bit? It's a freaking baseball game.
I know. It was good going. He was such a jerk. So we'll have to tell you about that at the end of the show because we're going to actually have real guests on today. We have Alex Brown to talk about the Preakness.
You. You're 5 foot tall, for God's sake. And this guy was probably looked like a football player, didn't he?
I'm feisty, Glenn, and don't be yelling at me during my Braves game. I will not tolerate it. I don't know who you think you are.
That's
talking
why
to
baseball
me
sucks.
My game. Oh, you are out of your mind. This is so exciting. this is the most exciting thing baseball game has seen in a while. With me getting in a fight with a 60-year-old man and have even my husband jumping up. Don't you talk to my wife. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Oh, I cannot wait to tell
you. I wish we had a video of that, actually. That might have been pretty good.
You know what? I'm sure security has a tape of it.
Did they come down to visit you? Well, we'll find out later. Hey, we got our first guest on the line. Let's talk to him.
Well, we've got Alex Brown on the line, and Alex has been our Preakness kind of, you know, our racehorse, voice of reason, I guess. And Alex has been at Pimlico. He was at the Derby. And, of course, he is the author of the book Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. So we say good morning to Alex. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Hello.
Are you at...
Good, good.
Yeah. Are you at Pimlico right now?
No, I'm at Fair Hill watching Animal Kingdom gallop around.
Oh, so he... I thought everybody had arrived at Pimlico already.
No, he won't ship down till Saturday morning. So he'll be here for the next couple of days and ship first thing Saturday morning.
Now... Being a an expert on that, is that a good idea to wait to expose them to the track till the day of the race, or is it not the big a deal?
Well, I don't think you'd ever want to question what Graham Motion decides to do, but absolutely, it's a great idea. I mean, Animal Kingdom loves it here. Why break his routine until you absolutely have to? It's only an hour ship down to Pimlico, and. If he doesn't like the track at Pimlico, he's not going to like it to train on or race on. So it's not going to make any difference to him running on Saturday whether he's run across the track or not.
That's a good point.
He's training very well here. He just galloped by me, actually, as I came on the air. And horse was
I
great.
Hear horses going by. That's cool.
Yeah, that's another one of Graham Motion's. He's got about 150 horses out here galloping right now.
Oh, my God.
Well, he doesn't quite have that many, but he does have a large string, and he brings a lot of horses out at the time that Animal Kingdom trains, so he's got something to focus on.
So obviously, Animal Kingdom drew the 11 post for the start of the Preakness. How do they like that? Is that a good number for them?
Yeah. To be honest, I think if he's going to win the race, it doesn't really matter. As long as he's not in the one hole, that might not be the best place to be or right on the very outside. But I think when you're in the 11th hole, you're not going to get into traffic trouble, and the running style of the horse, it should be perfectly fine.
All right. So what is your prediction? Do you think he's going to win? Is he looking good?
I mean, I think the horse looks good. It's very difficult to say. I mean, I talked to Graham a little bit about it yesterday. As good as the horse looks, and he does look good, and I've seen him train every day, you just don't really know how they're doing until they actually race. So we'll see on Saturday, but I mean, he's a 2-1 favorite, and I think he's a legitimate favorite. I don't see why any of the horses behind him in the Derby are going to run better races than him on Saturday. None of them have any excuses for their performance in the Derby other than they were beaten by the best horse on the day.
Gotcha. Anybody else in the lineup who is worth looking at, you think?
I don't think there's any real superstars in the Preakness that didn't run in the Derby. I mean, none really strike me, and you know, a lot of them that are running just weren't good enough to run in the Derby anyway, so I don't see any real dangers. Now, it's a 14-horse field. It's still going to be tough. Coming back in 2 weeks again is just an unknown for everybody. But the horse is in the right hands. He's looked great all week at Fair Hill. He looked great just galloping by. So we're very hopeful. We're excited.
And what's the weather supposed to be, the track condition for this weekend at Pimlico?
Someone said this morning that it's going to be pretty decent Saturday. And hopefully that'll dry the track up enough for it to be good. But we don't, you know, weather this time of year is a pain in the ass to predict, I guess. I mean, we've got overcast skies today, but no rain. The prediction all week has been terrible, but we've actually gotten away with some pretty decent weather for the horse to train on, so it's been pretty good.
Now, of course, we have to remember, too, Alex, that what usually happens in the Preakness is that a horse that didn't run in the Kentucky Derby ends up winning a lot of times. So it's those other horses that come out of nowhere that, you know, weren't on our radar during the whole build up to the Triple Crown that end up being the spoiler.
I mean, it's possible, and you know, they do in my mind have a distinct advantage coming back in 2 weeks. Like any of the Derby contenders have to do, is going to be difficult. So the advantage to the fresh horse. But I will say this year, and I could eat my words for sure, but I don't see there's really any standout amongst that group. So advantage or not, you've still got to be a good horse. And I think the better horses are the ones that ran in the Derby this year. And certainly Animal Kingdom proved to be the best of that group. Because, again, no horse behind him had an excuse. I mean, you could argue last year that the favorite, looking at Lucky, had a big excuse in the Derby when he got beat, and it turned out that he won the Preakness. So there was an excuse there. But this year, no excuse for any horse behind Animal Kingdom, and no real superstar coming in to the Preakness that didn't run in the Derby. So,
well, we're still rooting for Mucho Macho Man to pass him at the end here. We're still rooting for our boy Mucho Macho Man.
Well, you can still root for your boy Macho Muchu Picho Man, or whatever you call him. But we're rooting for Animal Kingdom, and we think that, you know, Mucho Macho Man, nice horse, you know, whatever. But he got beat in the Derby by a better horse called Animal Kingdom, so I'm sticking with that.
Wait, Alex, come on with this Animal Kingdom horse.
Well, I mean, it's a Fair Hill horse, right? So we got to root for him. I spent 20-some years at Fair Hill. We're all here this morning and just watched him gallop by. So we might be a bit biased in our viewpoint, but he's the Derby winner. Until he gets beat, he's the best three-year-old in the country for sure.
Well, I tell you, I want a Triple Crown winner so bad I can taste it. So I hope he does. I hope he does win it. And, you know, Mucho Macho Man comes in second, you know, again. How difficult is it for a horse to run this distance 2 weeks later? And would they ever do this in their career if it weren't for the Preakness?
Well, I mean, the distance isn't the problem, because the Preakness is a 16th of a mile shorter than the Derby. So they've already done the mile and a quarter trip that's for the first time for them in the Derby. But it is the coming back in 2 weeks that's tricky. And I talked to Graham about this a little bit yesterday, Animal Kingdom's trainer. And he said, yeah, sometimes your hand is forced. You've got to run a horse back in 2 weeks in a top race like this. And the only real issue is you don't absolutely know how well your horse is doing. All the visual cues, the horse is eating well, he looks well, he's training well, he's galloping well, make you think he's doing great. But we just won't absolutely know until Saturday. If you have a longer time to get the horse ready for the race, you can breeze him, you've got a much better handle on exactly how well he's doing. So that's just the issue. It's a little bit of an unknown. Some of these Derby horses that are running back in the Preakness will run back to form and run well, and a couple of them just won't. And let's just hope that's not Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope he does really well. You know, like you said, love to see a Triple Crown this year. I think it'd be great for the sport. I think it'd be great for racing. I think it'd be great for horses in general. So we wish him the best of luck. And, of course, thank you so much, Alex Brown, for being on with us. You can check him out at alexbrownracing.com. And, of course, definitely want to get that book, Barbaro and His Legacy, Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy, from Alex Brown. And thanks. And we will talk to you again after the Preakness and get the update.
Yeah, and you guys got to start following me on Twitter, because I keep picking pictures of the great Animal Kingdom. And I think if you follow me on Twitter, you would actually start rooting from a bit more than that Mucho Macho Micho.
I have a question. Did they hire
you
as a PR person since we talked to you last? Just checking.
Say that again?
Did they hire you as a PR person since the last time we talked to you? Just checking.
Let me tell you, I'll be a PR person for anyone that wins the Derby.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. I do follow you on Twitter. Definitely search for Alex Brown Racing on Twitter, and you can continually get good updates and news and everything there. So thanks again, Alex. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again after the Preakness.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you think he's rooting for, you know, when we talked to him before the Kentucky Derby, remember he really didn't have a favorite, if you recall?
Yeah, well, you have to remember, too, that he's got a big connection to that track. I mean, that's where he worked forever and ever, and this is that horse's home track. So the fact that he didn't really sell him, nobody sold Animal Kingdom to us before the Derby. You know, it was kind of like a, wait, what horse? And now that he's there every day, he's watching him, yeah, he's definitely a lot more excited about it. But you need to be nice. You just hush. Don't let him. He can rip on Mucho Macho Man all he wants. It's his opinion. But he's coming on as a guest, Glenn. You have to be nice to him.
Okay. I just wanted to bring it up. And there were a couple times that word was mentioned, so I have to catch up.
Gag assist. Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
And once more.
Gag assist. Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
I'm sorry, Rick. Nice. I missed the cue a couple times. He called me out on Facebook. I had to do that. Well, this half hour is sponsored by Eco Gold. If you are looking for high-performance saddle pads and horse boots that are non-slip, 100% breathable, and the ultimate in comfort and protection for your horse, they're made with the high-tech materials and state-of-the-art design that you're looking for. Eco Gold's innovative products are the top choice of riders like Philip Dutton, McLean Ward, Ashley Holter, Karen O'Connor, Boyd Martin, Jessica Phoenix, and that list goes on and on and on. I cannot tell you how many riders we saw at Rolex with Eco Gold saddle pads and Eco Gold boots. They are becoming the choice for riders everywhere. What's really cool, too, is they're out of Canada, but they will ship free anywhere in the world. So if you check out their website, you go to ecogold.ca, they will ship their products free to you, and I guarantee you're going to get the finest and the finest in quality and really top in innovative products. Watch some of their videos. They're fantastic, too. And, of course, Patricia's our friend who helped get us set up with all the bloggers there. So for information about this fantastic line of products, visit ecogold.ca. That's for Canada. So go to ecogold.ca.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah?
Hey, Glenn. Guess what? You mentioned shipping. I got something in the mail yesterday. Woohoo! I got my new saddle.
Oh, from Southern Star Saddlery.
Southern Star Saddle. You know what happened is it came to the house and I wasn't here. So they put that little card in the mailbox like, hey, you have to come to the post office. So I ran down to the post office as fast as I could. It's like about 2 miles away. So I get in my truck. I drive all the way down to the post office. I go in there and I've got my card like I have with the winning lottery ticket. I'm like, excuse me, I have a package to pick up. And the woman looks at me. She's like, oh, yeah, that's a really big box. Hold on. And she hands it to me and she goes, now, we're making a bet here. It says the Southern Star Saddlery on it. However, this box ain't big enough for a saddle. And I said, no, it's my saddle. I get my new saddle. Yay! And she's like, no, this ain't no saddle. This box ain't big enough. And then I realized... Exactly. I'm like, honey, not everybody west of Phoenix, Arizona rides Western, okay? I'm like, I'm the anomaly out here. What is that little postage stamp you're sitting on?
Did it ship all the way from Australia?
They shipped it all the way from Australia. And you know what was great was they put it in this box, and the box was, like, trashed, right? I'm like, oh, crap, it's going to be, you know, dented. They had put bubble wrap and then another box inside of it. So they really shipped it extremely well. I got my stirrups, my girth, my leathers, my saddle. I'm so excited. And so I didn't get it till too late last night to ride because, of course, I want to go throw it on the horse. And Chad's like, wait, I want to be there when you first ride in it. So don't ride in the new saddle till I get home. So I have to wait all day today till he gets home from work to ride in my new saddle.
Oh, there's a dedicated horse husband who cares. Actually, he just wants to make sure you don't dent it or damage it in any way. That's what he's really worried about, I think.
Again.
Yeah. Hey, let's bring someone else into this conversation. We have my co-host of the Stable Scoop Radio Show and the Tack and Habit Radio Show, and filled in here on Monday. We have Helena on the line. Hello, Helena.
Good morning, Jamie and Glenn.
You know, I was going to be mean and say, speaking of getting bucked off, but every time I say you got bucked off, you said, no, I did a flying dismount.
That is true. There is a distinction. I mean, it's not to say I have not gotten bucked off in my lifetime or fallen off, because goodness knows I've done that. This time I executed a fantastic, stunning, perfect flying dismount. I just happened
and
to land in
the That's why you can't walk for 9 months?
Yeah. You're not kidding. I might. You know what? The next time it happens, I don't care what. If my horse even looks the wrong way, I am not coming off. I'm staying on for all I can.
Your horse tossed you off, and you went to do your flying dismount, and you just did not stick the landing. Is that what I'm hearing?
I did not stick the landing. That's right. Thank you, Jamie. You see, I knew you would understand.
I got bucked off myself. And
hey, you
there's
know,
no
I
way around that one.
I've had my share of dirt sandwiches. I'm not, you know, I've been just sitting there and falling off, okay? Just doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I take that. I take that humility. No,
so
is...
what happened, Helena, so you're injured. I saw a Facebook post that you put down about hurting your knee, and I know that you were on the show Monday, but I didn't get a chance to listen because I was, you know, in Hawaii. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, speaking of new saddles, I was trying to find a new saddle for Pi, and I was going for my lungs like you. You know, you might as well just go for the gusto and get what you really want. And I had a new Steuben on them, and I'd ridden in it before, and I said, well, let me just throw it on them and, you know, just sit and walk around the barnyard. And I put it on, and it must have, I don't know, slid forward or done something funky and pinched him in a way that hadn't before, because he just started to get really antsy and hoppy and jiggy, and then the bucking started, and then the rearing started, and that's when I said, well, I'm going to practice my flying dismount. And so, I literally landed in like a ditch, and my knee went one way and my body went the other, and I knew something really bad happened because, you know, I couldn't just stand up and limp away. And it turns out that I ruptured my ACL, my MCL, which is another important ligament there, and my meniscus. So they call that the unhappy triad.
That's the triple threat right there. Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
It's really bad,
Helena, that sounds like it wasn't your fault and it wasn't your horse's. It was clearly the saddle. So if you would like, I could recommend Southern Star Saddlery to you. They do dressage and jumping and pony saddles, because you are kind of tiny, so you could get a pony saddle there too.
You know, I have to
remember.
I have to think of that, because Southern Star, you know, I remember when they first came out, John Nunn at Bit of Britain had carried them for a little while, and, you know, the buzz about the Southern Star saddles was just, like, was amazing. So I'm really glad to hear that I now personally know somebody who owns one, and I'm really excited for you. So I might have to revisit that saddle brand. You really like it, huh?
I do. I love it. It's so comfortable. And the cool thing about this jump saddle, Helena, these people don't advertise this or anything, and I didn't get it for free. So I've been telling you, honestly, there's a block where, you know, if your calf were to slip all the way back, there's a block to stop your calf. So you can't fling your leg over the side. I mean, I'm sure I can. I'll try to find a way. But they're doing everything they can to help you from keeping your leg go all the way back. So I'm sure this is not why you called or part of the show.
I don't know why
my
I called.
Off saddle.
Yeah, well, no, we haven't had a chance to catch up, Jamie. And, you know, a saddle purchase is a big deal.
I know. It's kind of awesome. We were talking about it when we were in Philadelphia together. There are people listening, though. So how long are you laid up and on stall rest or on the DL or whatever you want to call it?
Okay, well, I've been on stall rest it's been 4 weeks now, just a little over 4 weeks. And I'm in a brace. And I have 2 more weeks left in the brace. And then I start 3 to 4 weeks of physical therapy. And then I'll have to have the ACL reconstruction surgery. And then after I have that surgery, which should be like end of June, beginning of July, I will not be able to ride for about 8 to 9 months.
Oh, God. Oh,
we could probably shorten that time, but listen to the options. We could probably shorten that time if I decide to use, because they can't rebuild the ACL. They actually have to put a graft in. So they can take a tendon from your own body, or you can take it from a cadaver. So I can shorten my recovery time if I use a cadaver's tendon, or I can use my own.
Oh, my God, this sounds horrible.
Isn't it gross? It's gross.
That's disgusting. Like, can your horse donate one of his ligaments? I mean, that'd be better.
You know what I could do? I'd be happy with, like, a stirrup strap. Cut a piece of my saddle
off. One of those little rubber bands.
Yeah, and all I have to do is oil it. It'll last forever. So
yeah, you could get. Go ahead.
But no, I said to the doctor, I'm like, I don't care what you use. I probably don't want a cadaver, but just make sure that the knee is good until I'm 95, because I need to ride until I'm dead, like old and dead.
Yeah. Aww, not at the rate you're going. You might need a new horse.
Poor Helena. And you know what? I have noticed, because I do shows with her every week, that the whining has gotten a little bit more and more every week. So what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And I'd love to hear from people, too, to post on Facebook or give us a call at 347-637-3238. When you were laid up for a long period of time, what did you do to make sure you got your horsey fixed when you couldn't ride? And how do you cope? So how are you coping?
Oh, you know, I wish I had some of those Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls to keep me busy. I'll tell you what, it's really, really hard for me to be on the ground here and on stall rest. But there's been I guess every other day I get optimistic, you know, and then I embark on these little projects. And so some of the things that I've done to stay involved with my horses, stay hands-on, but obviously not ride, is organize my barn. Because I can hobble around a little bit, and definitely cleaning pack, you know, getting out the toothbrush, taking apart my bridles, really scrubbing and spit shining my bit. So all those things you keep, you know, you say, oh, I really need to do that. I really need to do that. But you don't have time to do. Now
well, there's a lot of listeners that would be happy to send you their tack to clean, I'm sure.
I think we should have a writing campaign. Absolutely.
Yes.
Send Helena your tack.
Well, you might not get it back. You could send it. I'll clean it. But I might be keeping it if it's good stuff. If we take any, like, tube and bridles.
Oh, my God, you poor thing. I would go crazy. You poor thing. And then the fact that you're cleaning tack, which is, like, the least favorite job, and you're, like, excited about it, that means
you are
going crazy.
Yeah,
that's really bad.
It's that to-do list that you have that's just staring you in the face. Every time you walk in the barn and you go to saddle up, you're like, oh, I really need to clean my saddle. So, but then again, there's only so much tack a person can have, unless, of course, you're Jennifer. In that case, you can clean tack until you are dead.
Hey.
Come on. I'm just calling him like I see him. The other thing, you know, I've really been meaning to do is, and I don't know if other people do this, but whenever I shop online for, like, bits or leathers, things that you have to measure, I never remember what size anything I have in the barn. Is, you know, is Zeke Halter cob or horse? What brand is it? What size bit do I have for him again? So I've actually been measuring my bits, my bridles, going through all that stuff and finding out what size is what, measuring my horse. Maybe I should stick my horse. You know, weight tape, getting those out. So weights and measures I've been doing. And then, you know, like my feed scoops, I make sure that I've measured my scoops so that I'm actually dishing out my grain by the pound instead of by quarts and all that stuff. So weights and measures is a good thing to do, too.
So how many gallons of coat conditioner have you gone through, and how many curry combs have you worn out grooming Zeke into within an inch of his life?
Oh, poor Zeke. Oh, my God. The shedding, between the shedding blade, the curry, the brush. I mean, you know what? I found that I have way more hoof picks than I thought I had. You know all those hoof picks that walk away when you're not looking?
Found them.
They walk back when you're on stall rest.
Hey, Helena, do you ever find the hoof picks, like, when you're going to do your laundry in your back pocket or something?
All the time, in my jacket pocket, and breast snaps. Hoof picks and breast snaps.
Yeah, we found those in our laundry, too. You want to really catch the breast snap before it goes in and gets washed, because it makes a hell of a noise.
Yeah.
Hey, Helena, we had dinner last night. Jennifer and I got in late. That's why I'm so sleepy today. I'm falling asleep on my ball here. We had dinner last night with Sterling Grayburn and Wendy Ying. Wendy was the one that we had as a guest on our show last week. Do you remember?
Wendy's awesome. She's my new hero.
Well, we had a blast. What a great night. Thank you, guys. I know she listens to the show here occasionally. And it was terrific. We had so much fun with them. We talked to, they were the ones, for all the listeners' benefit, who Jennifer set up to get my birthday drive with, where I drove a four in hand of ponies. So I got to do that on my birthday. And we've sort of become friends since then. And what a great night we had. She's terrific. And we talked about, you know, she practices traditional Chinese medicine and gets into the five elements. And we talked about that on our show. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go back to stablescoop.com and listen. But we talked last night about you and about your element, and it was fascinating. She's just so much fun. They both are so much fun to hang out with and chat with. Good driving, people. And guess what, Helena?
What?
I think I'm going to start taking lessons with them.
No, really?
Yep.
You're going to get off the ball?
I'm going to get off the ball and take driving lessons. You know, I've driven for years, well, 20 years, but I've never had a lesson. I've never learned how to do it right. I just learned how to do it the crappy way. So I'm going to learn how to do it right.
I think we're going to be seeing a Glenn cam in the future.
That's right. We talked about that, actually.
It might be going down the road instead of the cross-country track, but... Glenn, over here, this way. The course is over here.
We're going to see Glenn's helmet cam, you know, where you would be trotting straight down the road and, you know, you may be looking down at the reins and looking at your horse and making sure you're positioned correctly. Glenn's helmet cam would be, is that a squirrel?
Oh, look at the stars. They're so pretty. There's a cloud. Squirrel.
Oh, wait, what is that over there? Look at that. And it'll be, like, off to the right and left, and you'll get so nauseous that you'll throw up watching his helmet cam.
Now you know what it's like for me.
Hey, you know what? Did Wendy tell you what element Jamie is?
No, you know she didn't, but I don't think she's talked to Jamie directly. So we'll have to arrange that someday so that she can read Jamie and tell us. Because the elements are earth, wind, fire, water, and what's the other one?
Earth, air, fire, water.
Is it air?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I
don't think it's wind. I think it's air. You're thinking earth, wind, and fire, the band.
Well, she's going to – we'll have to get her on to identify Jamie. She does this really cool thing where there's five elements in traditional Chinese medicine, and they believe that every human and animal fits into these categories, and certain elements get along well together. And I was earth, and you were fire, and earth and fire get along very well together, which is why she thought that we've done our shows so well for this number of years. But she did say that poor Helena, because she's fire, she also has a horse that's fire. She identified this. She said to Helena, this is what she said. She said, Helena, you're definitely a fire, and there are certain kinds of horses that you wouldn't want to be involved with, like Arabs.
Yeah, she goes on to describe my horse to a T. Oh, yeah.
What'd she take a flying dismount off of? Her Arab saddlebred standardbred cross. So,
if he had even the slightest bit of standardbred in him, that would totally negate the Arab. So you got to get rid of the standardbred because, really, that's just throwing the whole world off. I have to tell you, I hired a girl, a friend of mine. I'm paying a friend of mine to ride him for me a couple times a week to keep him exercised because he's huge. And on Monday, she came out, and I saw her. She came out while I was filling in on horses in the morning. I saw her walk by my office window, and then I would say about a half an hour later, I saw her walk back. And I'm like, that's really not a long enough time to have ridden. And she texted me later and said, I could not catch your horse. And she knows what she's doing. I mean, she's experienced. She's a great rider. Deals with a lot of hotheads. And she said he is not even the smartest horse that she's ever met, but he actually understands human logic to the point where he can avoid being caught. Yeah, I'd like to put him and Monty together. So I'm validated. It's not me. I'm not a loser. My horse is very difficult to catch.
You need, Wendy said you need a nice fat quarter horse, and that's what we've been telling you all along. You need a nice fat quarter horse.
Well, how many listeners does this show have? If anybody has a nice fat quarter horse who'd like a perfect home in Rhode Island, just send me an email.
All right, good.
I got a one-eyed 25-year-old blind man. One-eyed 25 years old. I don't think he'll make the trip all the way from here to wherever the heck you live up in there.
Yeah, I know. I know. And besides, Chad wouldn't want to let him go. Isn't that like, you know, isn't he sort of attached now?
No? Let's just say that Chad said to me yesterday that when Will dies, can he get a real horse?
Oh.
I said, yes, honey, I totally agree with him. Poor little, but he's great with the kids, but he's not quite the mounted speed that Chad would like to have. Plus, he hates the fact that all my horses are taller than his.
Well, has he tried to get on Jet yet?
No, he sat on Jet one time, and he's ridden my Warm Blood once or twice. So he the problem with Chad is he has no fear. He's a pilot. He just has no fear whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because, like, at least you don't catch him out in the field trying to climb on Jet with a glass of whiskey and a cigar like mine.
Yeah, that's your husband.
That's the problem with the no fear thing.
Well, Helena, okay. We got to wrap it here. We have more guests coming up. Thank you so much for calling in today. We appreciate it. Take care of your knee. Be good. Don't overdo it.
I will. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Helena, I'll be sending you a couple of old bridles to clean up for me. Watch for the box.
Okay. No problem. Like I said, I'll keep them.
All right. See you, Helena.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, we do the Tack and Habit Show and the Stable Scoop Radio Show. You can find those at horseradionetwork.com. Our song today is sponsored by FeedXL. If you aren't sure whether you're feeding your horse correctly or you just want to be confirmed that you're doing it right, that all those supplements you're giving them are the right supplements and the right quantities, that those vitamin minerals are all getting into your horse, then the place you need to go is FeedXL.com. They have made it easy for you to stop by there. It takes about 5 minutes to input information about your horse and then to put information in about what you're feeding your horse, exactly what grain and what hay and how much grass and all that, supplements, everything. You put it in there, and it spits out these graphs and charts that show you whether you're feeding too much of this or too little of that. Makes it so simple, so easy. Stop over to FeedXL.com today and make sure you're doing correct and right by your horse. I have a surprise for you today, Jamie.
You do?
Yes, I do. You said it the other day. You said, that Clayton Fredericks guy, that inventor from England who we got to meet at Rolex and spend some time with and who you just bought a saddle from. And in honor of your saddle, I have his song. He also has a band called Team Fredericks.
Yay!
And here is The Will to Win by Team Fredericks.
When you know that you got what it takes, what a difference a feeling makes. And when everyone's dreaming the dream, then you've got the will to win. When the moment is finally here, and you fight and the energy's clear. When you stand on the strength of the team, then you've got the will to win. And you're keeping your eyes on the prize, and you're feeling the energy rise. When you know you can never give in, then you've got the will.
and that was Clayton
that
Frederick.
That song is awesome. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that cool? Clayton Frederick. The guy, I mean, how many talents can one guy have? You just go out and you win Rolex, you kick around the four-star course, and then you write a rock song that's awesome. That was fantastic. That's called The Will to Win. The band is called Team Fredericks, Clayton Fredericks. I was Googling them, like, how to get that song. You can download it off iTunes, and also you can I was just trying to see if they have any other songs recorded. I can't find any. So The Will to Win featuring Clayton Fredericks by Team Fredericks. That was awesome. I loved it.
Clayton is so clean cut and dapper. He looks very Harvard and very business.
Yeah, he does.
And he
yeah,
just
he does.
So does not look like the rocker he is.
No, he does.
You're right. He's like a really, I mean, he's a very handsome, classy guy.
Yeah.
You would not imagine him like up there shredding on a guitar or something.
No.
I mean, this is awesome. Awesome.
He's always dressed, you know, to the hilt and everything. You know, he's always looking proper and, you know, but obviously he can play and he can sing. So good job, Clayton. Well, we're going to go to Megan and the Chronicle Report today. Megan is here. Megan, if you remember correctly, Jamie, is the intern that we know and love from the Chronicle. Lisa's off on assignment again this week, but we have Megan here and we love picking on her. So, hi, Megan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, we haven't talked to you in quite a while, and you're still doing your internship.
Yes, a lot has happened since we've spoken last.
Well, cool. And, of course, this is the Thursday Chronicle Report with the Chronicle of the Horse at chronicalhorse.com. Well, tell us what's going on. I heard that you want to talk about the IHSA Championships, which is the Intercollegiate Championships. And we covered that a little bit, but not much. Did you actually come down for that to Kentucky?
I did. So I made the trip back home, and my fellow intern, Kara, and I, that was our first assignment solo, and it was we had a great time. It's a lot of work just because there's just a lot of people to talk to, and you know, just the layout of the show, there's so many factors going on, but a lot of fun. We both rode IHSA, and we got to run into some of our old teammates and friends, maybe, and I saw my coach, and so it was fun. We definitely incurred some bumps along the way. We, you know, as interns, we're trying to do the best we can down there, and we got through day one okay, and then the next morning we woke up, and for some reason the camera that they'd sent us with was not working, and we didn't know what to do, and we were both terrified that we'd actually broken this really nice and expensive camera. And so we tried to, you know, do everything we could to solve the problem before we actually called the office. But then we said, you know, we don't know what to do. And luckily, since I'm from Lexington, I knew of a camera shop. So, you know, I said, all right, I'm going to take this camera. We're going to get it fixed. And then we took it to the camera shop, and they were like, oh, we can't fix it. We don't know what's wrong with it. So I had to call some friends to get an extra camera, and it all worked out in the end. But there for a while, we were afraid that we were going to be the worst interns ever. So,
welcome to media, by the way.
Yes, there's always something, and it's just, you know, you have to have a good sense of humor about it, and just be able to think on your feet, and you know, go in one direction when you thought you were going to go in the other. But regardless, it was a lot of fun. So. Go ahead.
Does it impress everybody when you say you're from the Chronicle?
Yeah, I think it does, and it kind of just especially at IHSA, and Bob Cascione is such a huge fan of the Chronicle, and he's just so hospitable in the first place. So, you know, he'll grab you and, you know, pull you over to introduce you to somebody. Oh, she's, you know, Megan's here. She's with the Chronicle, and you know, this and this, and so. But yeah, I mean, of course there's a lot of tradition here at the Chronicle, and we do what we can to, you know, be top notch. So, you know, I don't feel like it's out of the ordinary for people to be excited that we're from the Chronicle.
No, I think it would be. I mean, you guys have been around forever, and it must be kind of fun. Hey, so tell us what happened this year. Who was the standout?
Well, Centenary College, really, I'll tell you what, they did a great job. they were in the lead all 3 days. You know, we just covered the 100 divisions, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they were in the lead the whole time. And their writer, Marissa Cohen, she won the Cashion Cup. And they just, you know, it wasn't even necessarily that all their writers were winning every class, but, you know, they had a lot of second places. And for people that don't necessarily know what IHSA is, you know, the writers that are selected by their coach to represent the team, however they place, they get a certain amount of points. So the second place writer will get 5 points. And, you know, then by the end of the weekend, you get a combined score. And so, you know, they just kept really placing really solidly. And even though some other schools were, you know, up there, it just, Centenary was really consistent. And they've got a really strong program. I've been up to Centenary when I was writing for UK. We wrote up at Centenary. They have a nice facilities, and, you know, it's a big part of
there. Where is Centenary, by the way?
It's in Hackettstown, New Jersey.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard of Centenary, by the way, till this year when I heard they won.
Yeah, they've always been pretty, especially in the last 3 or 4 years on the IHSA national scene. They've been, you know, they won 3 years ago. They were reserve champion last year, and then they won again this year. And the thing about the schools up there, like you know, Centenary, Virginia Intermont, St. Lawrence, and all that kind of stuff. You know, they've really made a name for themselves for their writing program. So a lot of writers are, you know, when they're making the choice to come out of high school and looking for a college, they're really considering something like that. So they get a lot of talent.
Can I ask you a dumb question? Because I'm known for those.
I love dumb questions.
Good. Do most of the, and I understand there's like over 300 colleges now that have writing programs. It's a huge number now. That's growing every year. Where did you go, by the way?
I went to University of Kentucky.
Okay, so you went to UK and like Centenary, those kind of colleges. Do they keep the horses on the grounds of the college, or are you at barns off the college? Are you all together? How does that work?
It works differently for every school. Centenary actually has a writing program there, so yes, they have. It's funded through their school. You know, I don't know everything about Centenary, but because I've been up there to ride, they have a nice, they have facilities, they have a barn, and then being part of the IHSA team or students that might be studying equine studies, you know, I think part of their responsibility to be on a team or to be a student is to help take care of the horses. But that is because they have a program. UK, for example, is obviously right in the middle of horse country, but they don't have a program, so they build it as a club sport, meaning that pretty much, you know, the riders do a lot of fundraising, but the riders pretty much pay for it out of pocket. And then at UK, there's a farm in Versailles called Robert Murphy Stables, and it's a private farm, and it's been around for a long time, but they run the program out of there. So UK doesn't actually own, they own maybe one or two horses. It depends. Some people will donate them. But for the most part, and it's not just UK. A lot of schools are like that. People will donate the horses or just say, you know, they might be private hunters that they allow the kids, the college students to take lessons on. And, you know, and then UK brought several horses to the Nationals this year, but none of them were UK horses in sense of the university owning them. They were, you know, people allow, you know, the college and the students to use it. So there's a lot that goes into making all that kind of stuff work.
And what's amazing, what I find amazing about what you guys do in the collegiate program is when you get there, how much time do you have with the horse that you're going to ride in the competition?
Well, you don't have any time with them. The rules are that you draw your horse beforehand, so just like a lottery, and they make while the class before you is going, they make a call maybe 5 minutes before your class starts or 3 minutes or something, and you mount. But there's a handler for the horse, so basically you're not really even supposed to pick up the reins, and you're not supposed to change your stirrups. You have to have somebody do all that kind of stuff for you. So you don't have any time to get to know the horse. You know, when you step into the ring, that is That's when you
pick
up the ring.
You're riding that horse cold when you walk into that ring. You have no idea.
You don't. I mean, that when you draw the horse, there's a list, and you know the college or whoever sends it will say something like, you know, maybe this horse. You can't do fine lead changes on this horse. Do simple lead changes or, you know, a lot of leg to the base of the jump. Like, there'll be, like, a one-liner, but, you know, you have to figure it out on your own. So that makes you – that's really – that is the whole dynamic of the show. You know, that – I always say that teaching riders that, you know, that might have started in college and never ridden horses before, they're getting a great education because – they are learning to ride tons of different horses and adapt, which is fantastic. And then, you know, on the flip side, a lot of the – there are certainly riders who grew up riding horses and had great, really nice horses, but they – you know, all these horses aren't, you know, top-notch hunter horses, you know, all the time. So they might pull one that is a little bit more difficult. So it really evens out the whole span of things. And then you, of course, have the team aspect, which is a lot of fun because a lot of times – riders, you know, it's an individual thing. So to bring the support of a team and that kind of thing into it, just I'm a big fan of the association. It's a lot of fun, and you know, I'm gonna once I settle down and get my life in order a little bit, I'm gonna ride alumni division. So it's fun.
Oh, so they have an alumni division for that?
They do. Uh huh.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So. Yeah.
So how different was it for you having competed in this to going there to cover it as a reporter? What was that like for you this year?
Well, I think that it. I mean, I think it was great because I had a lot of background on it. You know, I knew you certainly know the right questions to ask the writers when they win, or you know if they have a sticky round or something, because you've been there and you can, you know, you have your own perspective on it, and you just kind of understand. To pick somebody up and take them from a normal horse show reporter that had never covered IHSA, they would be totally confused by the whole situation because they're just, you know, there's certain rules that you know, and but you know because you've ridden, so you can read all of them, you know, if you haven't been a participant in it. But you know, it takes a little while to figure it all out, and so it was fun, you know, a little bit nostalgic to stand on the rail and you know take pictures and stuff. But the when I was a senior at UK, there was a freshman. The freshman class were seniors this year, and so a girl that rode with me, she won the open equitation over fences for individual. So it was nice to see her win and, you know, see just, you know, how far everyone's come. And it makes me feel old because I've been out of school for a little while, but all fun, so.
Well, I got to ask you, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, you can. Within reason, of course. Within
it's
reason.
Been a day
no.
for that, apparently.
I'm just curious to know, because I was an intern at a radio station. That's how my radio career started. And I was a completely underappreciated, unpaid, you know, everybody's errand girl intern. Are you... also an underappreciated unpaid intern or one or the other?
Well,
does the Chronicle pay interns?
They do pay interns, which is, it's so rare anymore to get a paid internship anywhere. So yes, we do get paid. And I will have to say, and this is by no means trying to suck up to the editors or anything like that, but no, I mean, you definitely, I always feel like the work that I do is appreciated. And in fact, I'm coming down to the end of my internship at the end of the month, but they've asked me to stay, so I'm going to stay and be here for the summer and help.
Yay! Good for you.
So I guess I technically won't be an intern anymore, but if you still need to, you can ask me intern questions. I'll kind of be here as just kind of helping bring in the other interns and, you know, as a staff writer, but. So that makes you not feel underappreciated, I guess. But, you know, and the thing is here, basically, Kara and I were kind of laughing about the whole situation because, you know, they said, okay, well, you two are going to go and cover this horse show. And so I mean, you got it's like a little bit of pressure, you know, but they also have to have faith in you to send you on your own down there. So I don't know. I mean, no, I don't think that. I think this place of any internship I've had is you have a couple days to settle in, you know, if that, and then they're like, hey, can you write this story? And you know, then your name's on the byline, and then, you know, that's how it works. So.
And then you end up on the radio.
you end up on the radio.
Hey, Megan, I got to tell you, I totally agree with you. I've gotten to hang out with Sarah and the gang on various occasions, did various shows we've covered together and sat beside each other and watched a lot of dressage and other things together, and they're a good group. They really are a good group.
It's a lot of fun up here. It really is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a... It's this old house, and it's pretty much two floors, and we have the editorial staff on one floor, and, you know, it's quiet, everyone's working a lot, but if you have a question, you say, hey, what do you think about that? Or, hey, you know, what is this? You know, it's still, like, it's open, and...
Okay,
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys maybe discuss each other's stories and
mm-hmm.
maybe go over it with each other. And I wanted to bring up, because I saw this on the Chronicle website, the Jersey Fresh Jessica Phoenix drama. Did you hear about this?
Yes, and I was just you know, reading through Molly's article today. We were talking about that.
What happened? I'm out of the loop on this one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you want to tell?
It's up. You brought up the topic. You can. She got it. Basically, she just got a yellow card for reckless riding.
Jessica is like, when we saw her at Rolex, she was one of the quietest cross country riders we saw all day.
Well, she got pulled at Fence 12. They stopped her.
Yeah, they
from riding.
And basically. A handful of the, you know, some of the top riders, you know, asked for a meeting with the grand jury after the third horse in section, I believe. And, you know, I guess there was just some stipulation of, you know, some of the decisions they'd made. And I don't necessarily know if the Jessica Phoenix incident was the thing that made them ask for it. But it was one of the issues they addressed. And, you know, she came back and said that, you know, she was disheartened by having obviously been disqualified, who wouldn't be, but also because, you know, they said that they had a sticky moment and, you know, it wasn't like she was out of control. That, you know, that's what she came back to say. And
Yeah, Philip Dutton and Boyd Martin, and they all went and talked to the grand jury. I guess them pulling Jessica Phoenix at Fence 12, they said she had been riding recklessly since Fence 9, and she's on the horse Pavarotti, and she said, the grand jury said that he looked like he was running through the bridle, wasn't paying attention, and she's come back and said, you know, I was not doing that. She was very disappointed, but she also felt like, you know, this is an up-and-coming horse, and she's pretty upset that they pulled her. So Boyd Martin, Philip Dutton, Buck Davison, and Will Faudry all had a conference with the grand jury because of that, and I guess some huge discrepancies in the judges' dressage scores where
yeah, that was another thing. They said at some points the you know, from the three dressage judges, like there were more than, you know, like 6 percentage points. You know, somebody would give a 46 and somebody else would give a, you know, a 56 or something. And they thought, you know, that doesn't seem right. You know, usually one or two maybe points are pretty normal. But I think that Jersey Fresh has been, you know, they're trying to really improve it and they're trying to get it established so that, you know, there's not a lot of question of it being around for the next couple of years. And so, I mean, I don't think it was a bad idea for the riders to come up. You know, it's our sport. It's the rider's sport as much as it is the official sport. So,
I got to say about Jessica, I've known her for a couple of years now and quite well. She was our spotlight eventer for the World Equestrian Games radio show. And we've gotten to know her personally. And, you know, she's been on our shows 100 times. And I've seen her ride many, many times. And she, as I said, she is one of the quietest, most concerned, engaged riders I've seen. You know, she would have pulled that horse up if she thought there was a problem.
Yeah.
Well, this is her second yellow card, so she's suspended for 60 days.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yeah,
because at 2010 Bromont, she was given a yellow card, but it was with exponential. But so yes, that now it results in a 60-day suspension, which of course adds a whole new level of issues on top of it. But you know, I thought that it would be even a bigger issue if you know her fellow riders were coming and saying, yeah, we thought that you know was probably the right idea, but I think she probably feels like, you know, that if another rider had been in the same position, they would have felt the way she did, and so that probably makes her feel a little bit better that she has the support of her fellow riders. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's always something, you know, that goes on an event that maybe people don't know about.
Drama.
Yeah,
can you imagine if there was actually serious money involved in these things?
Right. They would really get out of hand.
Megan, thank you so much for being on with us and dishing the dirt a little bit with us and keeping us up on the ISHSA.
No problem.
Congratulations on your job with the Chronicle.
Yay.
That's awesome. Intern turned employee. Woo-hoo.
Yes. So it will be a fun summer here and beautiful, you know, it'll be beautiful weather up here. And then I'm going to have to haze the new interns a little bit. And,
that's funny.
And get them settled in and warn them if they you know, have to do the horses in the morning that you guys are going to give them just as hard of a time as you gave me. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's our job, Megan. Thank you so much, Megan.
You're
and
welcome. You guys have a great weekend.
Cronofhorse.com. Thanks, Megan.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
This half hour is sponsored by Equestrian Collections. And right after I'm done telling you a little bit about Equestrian Collections and the coupon they have for you, Jamie's going to talk about why she decided to get in a fight with a 60-year-old frail, nice man at the baseball game. We're going to find out what kind of evil things she did to him. But first, we want to talk to you about all of those products you're going to need for the summertime, whether you're looking at fly sprays or fly sheets or anything in that line, also showing or clothing or tack or anything for your barn. You can find it all at our choice of equestriancollections.com. They have over 300 different brands to choose from, tens and tens of thousands of products, huge website, and you're going to want to stop by there. They do a terrific job with customer service and prices as well. They also have a closeout section you're going to want to check with products up to 70% off. So check that out, and you can also get an additional amount off just because you're a listener of the Horse Radio Network. You just put in radio show, all one word, radio show, in the promotion code section at checkout, and you'll get $10 off your next order of $120 or more. So that's EquestrianCollections.com. We thank you for their continued support. They were like one of our first sponsors 2.5 years ago and have been with us ever since. So we do appreciate that. Okay, Jamie, tell us why this sweet old man made you mad.
Well, first of all, I would like to apologize to my father because you said 60-year-old man, feeble and frail, and my dad probably took offense to that because he is over 60, and he always gets mad when I talk about... he always gets mad when I talk about old people being 60 years old. You know, he's like, I'm like, oh, that old 60-year-old man. He's like, hello, I'm older than that. So, sorry, Dad. I'm at the baseball game last night. My Atlanta Braves only come into town to Phoenix, Arizona for 3 games a year. And they're all three together. And the stadium is very far away. So I usually go to 1 game a year to see my Atlanta Braves. Now, I go
you own
to
the
game.
Team or just checking?
Yeah, everybody does, Glenn. They're America's team. Okay, keep it down. So I go to the Braves game last night, and of course I have my Braves attire. I used to work for the Braves, so they actually provided me when I worked for them with a jersey with my name on it. Okay, awesome. So I have my jersey on with my name on it. I've got my away Braves cap because I wanted to match the team, and I go to the stadium, which, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks are not the most successful nor most popular team. So there's really, there's 16,000 people there, and the stadium holds about 48,000. So keep in mind, there's not a huge crowd on a Wednesday
night.
Well,
you know what, I got to be honest, anytime I have slipped by, Jamie, on watching baseball on TV, there's never a huge crowd. I don't know how they get paid what they do. Nobody ever goes to watch the games because they're boring. But go ahead.
Listen, you're so wrong. It's painful to listen to you. So, anyway, back to the real story. So, the game was really exciting. It was tied. It was like 1-1, and then it was 2-2, and then it was 3-3. And it gets all the way down to the bottom of the ninth, okay? This is potentially the end of a game, except for the fact that the Arizona Diamondbacks have two men on the base. There's one up to bat, and the game is tied. It's the bottom of the ninth, which usually signifies, for those who don't know the sport, Glenn, the ninth inning is the last one. So,
okay, gotcha.
The bottom of the ninth, two outs, two on, man up to bat. I am nervous, because I don't want them to score, because I want it to go into extra innings so my Braves can score. So I'm standing up, and I'm cheering. And, again, only 17,000, 18,000 people in the whole entire stadium. I'm standing up cheering. And from six rows back, I hear somebody go, Jamie! Jamie! And I turn around, because then I realize my name is on my jersey, when he goes, sit down! Sit down! I'm like, excuse me? It is the bottom of the ninth. Two outs, two on. There's nobody behind me for six rows. And this jerk face tells me to sit down during the game. So where some might have sat down, I was not going to be that person. I did not take the high road. I turned around and I said, why don't you get off your butt and stand up? Bottom of the ninth, two out, two on, get up. Well, this man did not appreciate my opinion whatsoever.
I'm going to fall off my ball.
I am the only Braves fan in this entire section, okay? So I'm the only jerk face standing up cheering. Because it's the end of the game. I mean, this is exciting. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. And this jerk face tells me to sit down. So I turn around. I'm like, you stand up. Get your butt off your seat, lazy ass. You know, get up. So what does he do? He goes, this is my team. I'm from Phoenix, and I live here. And I'll sit down if I want to. And you're in the way, and you need to sit down. And I go, excuse me, but I live here too, and this is my team, and my team only plays here three games a year, and I will stand up when I want to. It is the bottom of the night. There are two outs. This game is exciting, and you can suck it.
Did you miss the end of the game while you were arguing with this guy, by the way?
Oh, no, because this whole thing happened extremely quickly, because I was not one to pause after I was yelled at. I was back in his face. Now, mind you, he is six rows back. There is a nobody between me and him. His wife is hitting him, going, shut up, shut up, shut up. My husband, and so he's continuing to yell at me to sit down. This is ridiculous, by the way. My husband turns around and goes, hey, buddy, you're wrong. I'm with her. This is an exciting game, and it's the end of it. Why don't you just stand up? There are other Diamondbacks fans that are sitting around this whole area that start yelling at him as well. Hey, she can stand up if she wants to. This is an exciting game. You know what? We're going to stand up now, too. So other people stand up. It's like, rise up, people. Rise up and cheer on your team. I started a movement. into 13 innings. Okay, 13.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
He did not sit down the rest of the game. That would be me. Thank you very much. And that jerk face did not leave. He sat there and watched my rear end stand up in front of him for the next 45 minutes. And I was like, yeah, what's up? I'll stand up. It's my team. What an idiot. What
my
an
guess,
idiot. Sorry.
My guess is there wasn't any of this involved.
Jack is this. Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
At least Pegasus would have stand up with me, you know? I mean, geez, he would have cheered along. I wasn't even drinking.
The thing that struck me about that whole story is that, like, a baseball game isn't long enough at 9 innings. You had to suffer through 13.
He's such a jerk. You are such a jerk. Oh, my gosh, Jennifer, I don't know how you deal with it. Anyway, the Braves did not win. At bottom of the 13th, the Diamondbacks scored. It was an excellent, exciting game.
Did the guy go after they won? Did he come after you then?
Let me just tell you, his whole entire family left him. They were gone. He sat there by himself for the rest of the game, because I kept turning around looking at him like, ha-ha, suck it, I'm standing up, boo, you poor thing, get off your butt, you know, whatever. So, that's funny, Rick Conley. Rick Conley just posted on Facebook, how could the guy even tell she was standing up? Yeah, I'm 5'3". I know, really? Seriously? I mean, it's not like I'm tall and I'm standing in the guy's way. I mean, I'm 5'3 and I'm 6 rows ahead. Really? Get a life. I was mad. So let's just say that it was a very exciting game, and you talk about being up late. I could not go to sleep last night. I was still mad at this guy. But, yeah, he had to deal with it the rest of the time, and he sat there by himself the rest of the game.
That's funny. I almost fell off my ball in the middle of that one. You can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. If you're a new listener, we welcome you. This is what it's normally like. Yesterday was kind of an exception. we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so mad at you now. It's not even funny. Baseball is awesome. If you missed the live show, listen to the recorded version. Who?
Patty tomorrow. Mucho Macho Man's owner tomorrow.
No. Yes, because we got the Preakness this weekend. Mucho Macho Man is our pick. And you're slow on the trigger today. You're tired. I just said the P word.
Oh, geez. I'm tired. Can't stay down. Jack
here. Is this? Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls in.
Just say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye. Great.